Griffin. Good to have you back.
Alan Griffin fires a three and hits.
This is Orange Nation.
All right, Stephen Fonte, Pauly Sebelia back with you on a Thursday edition of Orange Nation as we go right back to our guest line to bring on SU assistant coach Alan Griffin, brought to you every week by Amtrak. Griff, always great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. A big week ahead, which we'll certainly get to. Three games left, and we know they're all important. Let's start with this past week. And, you know, you had a remarkable comeback against Notre Dame on Saturday, followed by a lopsided loss against Duke on Monday. And in both cases, we saw you guys get off to a slow start. It's something that's popped up time and time again with this team, Griff. You know, how do you explain it, and how do you fix it, I guess? You know, I'm hitting you with a hard one right off the top.
Right off the top. You know what? Maybe we should just come out and start pressing right away, you know? with the press, especially against Notre Dame, we were kind of dead in the water. And partly is because of the way they play, too. They're very efficient, and they're very direct in terms of what they try to do offensively, you know, with the five power that they have out there. So it can lull you to sleep a little bit. And the thing about it is that if you don't come out with the intensity and the energy that you need to, you can fall right into the hands, which happened for us in the first half. Then, you know, coach being coach, and the reason why he's won over 1,000 games and, you know, in the Basketball Hall of Fame, you know, he just kind of put the press out there and said, hey, listen, we're either going to get beat by 40 or we're going to come back and make this a game. And obviously it worked in our favor. So we just got to, you know, have a better energy and a better start, get off to a better start. And that's one of the things that the guys got to figure out. Us as a staff, we can put them in positions, but so much if the energy is not there, then it can, you know, turn into what's been going on the last couple of games, especially in the first half.
I found it interesting. Yeah, and I found it interesting in the postgame, the postgame comments after the game on Saturday where you came back that, you know, the press speeds up the opponent, and that's generally a good thing when you're able to speed up the opponent, but it also seemed to speed you guys up in a good way, though, on both ends of the floor. I mean, can you speak to that a little bit, that this wasn't all about just getting Notre Dame uncomfortable, but the press seemed to give you guys a little bit of energy?
Yeah, it did. It made us play a little bit faster, and you know, obviously the sense of urgency was there, and you know, we got to figure out a way to having that at the beginning of the games. Again, you know, these guys, you know, our guys got to do a good job of motivating within the group and getting those guys out there to, you know, having a little bit more urgency, especially at the start of the game. Because if we do that, a lot of good things could probably happen for us early, which we don't have to kind of give up so much energy trying to battle back against, you know, good teams. You know, just fortunately, we were able to, again, you know, take Notre Dame out of their rhythm, which, you know, it didn't work, you know, to our favor when we went against Duke. It kind of did at the beginning of the press, and then, you know, obviously, given hurt that three in the right corner, just kind of took the air out of, you know, a comeback, so to speak. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that Duke game too, I mean, as a coaching staff, what do you guys take out of it? Because it was, you know, it was a game where you're down, 16-18 by halftime. You tried the press, and it didn't work the same way that it worked against Notre Dame, and to some degree, that's a credit to Duke, but. You know, what do you take away as a coaching staff from that loss to Duke?
Again, you know, how we started out, you know, this segment here, man. You know, we can't spot teams, you know, 40 and 50 points in the first half, in a half period. If we're gonna spot teams that many points, it's gonna be a long afternoon or night for us, because again, it's hard to recover. And the thing about it, we're both, you know, if you think about the Duke game, you know, we gave up, 30-some points in the second half, probably, you know, or 32 points, something like that. And then, you know, in the Notre Dame game in the second half, we gave up, you know, in the 20s. So, again, like, you know, the silver lining thing that, you know, take from these games is that it's in us to be a better defensive team than we've shown, you know, and if we can do it for a half, we need to try to figure out a way to, you know, do it for a whole game, because if we can play defense that like we've been playing, and, you know, defense in the second half, and then just being a lot more active and, having that sense of urgency, we can really make it tough for some teams.
One of the positives from this last week, no doubt, the play of Buddy Boeheim, you know, 29 points against Notre Dame. I mean, he single-handedly seemed to – I don't want to say he single-handedly won the game, because that was a team effort to come back. But from an offensive perspective, I mean, he was lights out against Notre Dame, and then shot it pretty well against Duke as well. Anything different that you guys are doing from a strategic standpoint in terms of trying to free him up, or is it just a case of, you know, he's making some of the shots now that he was missing, you know, a month or so ago?
I think that's part of it. I think he's starting to get back in his rhythm. I know we talked about, you know, shooters and the rhythm that they need to have in order to, you know, be who they are and be lights out the way Buddy has been the last couple of games. That is a big part. And also, too, you know, against Notre Dame, you know, we talked about it as a staff, is that, you know, four of his threes came from fan-out threes, basically offensive rebounds, throwing it back out to the three-point shooter on the line. And, you know, sometimes that's just going to be another way of getting him a shot, because teams are really face-guarding him and playing on top, and they're trying to make it difficult for him, you know, when he comes off screens to not give him no open look. So I thought we did a good job of, you know, doing that for him against Notre Dame. And then, you know, Duke, you know, we got him a couple of shots in transition. And those are the things that we're going to have to do, and then probably if we can screen a little bit better at times, you know, it can help free him up a little bit, and hopefully can kind of give him a good look. But, again, Buddy's just been, you know, he's been in practice, he's been shooting better. He's trying to kind of get back into that rhythm that he had before he went out with the COVID incident. So, you know, hopefully we can continue. He can keep his hot streak going for this next, you know, three games and see where it goes.
I want to ask you about your position, the centers, Griff. And, you know, we've seen John Bolajac, you know, play some more minutes than obviously he was at the beginning of the season, and even getting in there before Jesse. 7 minutes for John Bol against Duke. Bring us up to date on how he's been at practice, why he's been able to earn those minutes, and what you like about his performances when he gets out there. He seems active when he's playing.
Yeah, John is really active, especially with the style of defense that we're using right now. It needs for the guy who's in the middle to be able to get, you know, to each corner and be there on the catch, so that, you know, you can eliminate that corner three, which John has shown from time to time in practice that he can do it better than most, you know, all the rest of the guys, obviously minus Barama. And that's one of those things where, you know, we need that position. So John has been, you know, lights out at, doing that assignment. So that's why he's been getting it. He's actually been playing good, and, you know, in practice and bringing a lot of energy. So, you know, again, it's just one of those things where, you know, he earned the right to, you know, getting the minutes that he's getting, and hopefully, you know, he can extend it a little bit more, and we can give him a right, probably play in his natural position a little bit more. But, you know, we'll see.
I want to ask you about the center position moving forward as well. You just touched on Barama, and maybe this isn't something you can answer quite yet, or maybe you don't have much insight as of right now. Do you guys expect Barama to be back with the program next year? I mean, he obviously would have an extra year of eligibility, given the fact the NCAA is giving this year for free, essentially, to everyone from an eligibility standpoint. Do you think Barama's coming back? Do you think Marek's coming back for that matter?
I think those are all questions that those guys got to have with their families, and then, you know, sit down with coach at the end of the year. You know, right now, I haven't had a conversation with Barama about that, and I know there was just an article out. I think Post Standard put out there the other day, or yesterday, excuse me, about Barama talking about he has to, you know, about coming back. And, you know, he said the same thing. He's got to sit down with coach and his family and kind of figure it out. So that's what I heard, and that's what I'm going with. But, you know, we would, you know, for me as a selfish person, I would want them to back, because they'll make our team that much better next year. And give us veteran guys, and it would be just that much better, you know.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, there's a lot of basketball left to be played, or at least you hope there's a lot of basketball left to be played this year. And, you know, the next one is Saturday. It's an important game for a lot of reasons. It's a team you're fighting with for positioning in the ACC. It's a quad one opportunity on the road. It's a chance to, you know, get back on track and make a push toward the NCAA tournament. As you get ready for the Yellow Jackets, what stands out to you about this team?
Well, they've been playing extremely well. They got a veteran team. They got really good players. They got a lot of good things going for them. You know, their style of play, especially with their little matchup zone that they got, can be a nightmare if you don't attack it right. But, you know, Jose Alvarado is probably one of the best point guards in the league, and he's playing it, you know, on both ends of the court. You know, I think he leads our league in steals, and he's shooting over 42% from the three-point line, so he's going to be a problem. He's a pest, and he's always gave us problems since he's been in the league, so we got to make sure that we kind of try to keep him under control or you know, understand that he's done that his whole career. And then you got, you know, inside play with Moses Wright, who is probably one of the best big men in our league. He is very active, very athletic, and he has a scoring mentality. So he's going to, you know, go after our guys inside. So we're going to have to, it's going to be a team effort, especially with, you know, dealing with him inside. So we got our hands full, but I think our guys will be up for the challenge. They got to guard us on the other end. And I think that we can pose a lot of problems for them, you know, on the offensive end.
Yeah, I just pulled up the stats while you were talking. Not only does Jose Alvarado lead the league in steals, he has 16 more steals than anyone else in the conference right now. Yeah. And to your point about Moses Wright, top 10 in both rebounding and block shots. So this is a difficult team for a lot of reasons. Last one for you, Griff, before we get you out of here. I mean, so, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, and we talk about this on the radio every day, and what does SU need to do? And we look at the bubble and, you know, man, they got to get hot here. How do you keep the players from looking big picture and worrying about, man, we got to go on a winning streak here to get in the NCAA tournament, and just focus on the here and the now and the next practice and the next game and take care of this one first? I would imagine that's difficult because human nature, especially for kids, is, you know, they want to get it all back at once. But obviously, you know, you can't do that.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the one thing is that you never hear it from our staff in terms of speaking big picture. We talk about what's in front of us all the time, from coach all the way down. The messages pass all the way down to, you know, through Jerry, through me, through Adrian, you know, through, you know, our support staff and everybody, is that, you know, we kind of look at, you know, who we play next and so forth. Obviously, it's human nature that you can get on the internet and you can listen to what everybody's saying around, you know, the country, and saying, you know, Joey Brackett's on TV and this person with a car. You know, every win and every game is important, and that's been the message since day one, before the NCAA tournament was talked about. Now, you know, you look what you got in front of you, and that's the one thing that coach has been very consistent with, especially with this group, you know, all year. So, and that's just one of those things where we just keep, you know, keep our blinders on and kind of keep moving forward. And again, like, at the end of the day, it's probably two or three teams in the country that can look big picture. You know, you got your Gonzaga, Baylor's, those elite teams. Outside of that, every team can be beat. And every team can beat you. So you got to focus on, you know, the task in front of you and keep it moving.
All right. Big one Saturday. That's the next one. 12 o'clock tip down in Atlanta, Syracuse, and Georgia Tech. Griff, as always, appreciate the time. Big week for you guys. Good luck. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks.
All right. There he is. SU assistant coach Alan Griffin. And with that, phone lines open the rest of the way. 315-437-7644. We'll wrap up hour number one right after this on ESPN Radio.